her name in Colossians a few things that are wrong today, too. Fornication and adultery and just those very things you named in Boston. Let's turn in our Bibles again to Colossians chapter 3. This morning we came up to verse 1 and maybe a little bit of verse 2. Can we read those two verses together, please? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. People sometimes look up in the sky, don't they? Maybe it's an airplane up there they're looking at. Maybe it's an eclipse of the sun. Maybe they look at the moon. Maybe at the stars. Maybe it's some birds flying along. Maybe it's the clouds. Do you have anything that you should be looking up there for? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, up there. Do you have anybody you know up there? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He's up there. You know God the Father? He's up there. Have any other saved Christians that have died? Friends of yours? They're up with Jesus. They're up there. Do you know where heaven is? It's up there. God never told us exactly the place. But Jesus said in John 14, I have gone to prepare a place for you. That means those that are saved and born again Christians. That where I am, there ye may be also. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I don't like the modern translation. They don't say mansions. They say dwelling places or something like that. I like mansion better, don't you? The Lord has many rooms for us in glory. There's space for everyone that trusts in the Savior. We'll have no problems with food up there. No problems with drink and water up there. No problems with rest up there. No problems with joy up there. For the former things are passed away. Keep your place in Colossians, please. And turn to the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 22. Some believe this is the millennium. Others believe it's heaven itself. But in verse 3 and 4, notice John says, there shall be no more curse. The curse of sin will be gone in heaven. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. We're going to serve him in heaven. Did you know that? We'll serve him willingly. And it says in verse 4, and they shall see his face. We have someone in the glory today. We should look up and seek those things that are in the glory today. And when we get there, we shall see his face. We'll behold his glory. We'll be made like unto him. We shall see him as he is. Notice also in verse 4. And his name shall be in their foreheads. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the name of Antichrist. In the tribulation, Antichrist will demand his number be in the hand. Number 666. Up in the glory, the Lord Jesus will have his name on our foreheads. Because we are his. In verse 5, we see there will be no night there. And they need no candle. No candle.
Okay?
They'll not even need a flashlight. They'll need no batteries. Because the lights will never go out. This isn't in the verse, I'm just adding this. Not adding it, but explaining it. It says in verse 5, neither the light of the sun. We won't need the sun up in glory. S-U-N is not needed. Sun. Because we have the S-O-N, the Son of God. And as the girl quoted in Scripture, Jesus is the light of the world. For the Lord God, it says in verse 5, giveth light. And they shall reign forever and ever. We've got plenty up there. Turn to Revelation 21, please. Notice in verse 4. I believe this is also speaking of heaven. Some believe it speaks of the millennium. I think it's heaven also. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from the earth. There may be tears in heaven. But God will wipe them away from our eyes. And there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said unto the throne, that he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Praise the Lord. Now in Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, if we be risen with Christ, meaning since we're risen with Christ, keep right on continuously seeking those things that are above, up there. Where the Lord Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. Now we come to verse 2. It says, set your affection on things above. This again is a present tense in Greek. It means a continuous action. The word is phronete. It comes from frame, which is mind. It means continue to set your affections in your mind. think much of who's up in heaven? Do you think of very many times what's up there and our affections? Are they on things above? Paul says not only continue to look above, and seek those things that are above. But he says, put your mind and set your affections on things above. The Lord said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. And if your mind is on things above, your life is going to be in line with the Word of God. Remember this morning we talked about that hog, that male pig. He's built to look down, it looks like, on the ground. But we must look up. Then notice in verse 2 it says, don't set your affections on things on earth. Because you're dead. We died with Christ. We should reckon ourselves at least dead unto sin. We should consider ourselves and our affections dead. And it says your lives are hid with Christ in God. And since our lives are hid with Christ in God, we're safe. Let's read now verses 3 and 4, please. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Alright? Notice it says in verse 4, when Christ shall appear. He is coming again. He's coming back. It could happen at any moment. That's called the rapture of the church. The snatching away of those believers in Christ. All the lost people will stay down here on earth. They won't know what's happened to the believers that are gone. Some of them won't miss us. Some of them won't miss us. Some of the world don't care anything about us. But the Lord cares for us. And it says, when he who is our life shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. Colossians 1:27 is our theme of this book. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's say Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, it says, we shall appear with Christ in glory when he appears. When he was on earth, his glory had to be hidden. We couldn't have lived if we'd seen his full glory. But when the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the rapture, these bodies will be changed like unto his body. We'll get new bodies. If we've died before he returns in the rapture,
body of mortality.
Those corruptible bodies will become incorruptible bodies. And we'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christ is our life because he gave us eternal life. And notice, when he shall appear is a promise. And are you looking for the upper taker? One who takes you up. Or are you looking for the undertaker? One who buries you. Christ's return is a blessed hope. It may be today. The undertaker may get us before the upper taker gets us. Do you understand what undertaker is? Do you understand what undertaker is?
Yeah,
do you understand? Do they understand undertaker?
I want to believe. Yeah.
Well, undertaker is one who buries you.
All right.
He embalms the bodies. Charges you a lot of money for a coffin. Digs a hole in the earth. Puts you in. In the United States, we call those people undertakers. But Christ will take us up. So we Christians call him the upper taker. Instead of the undertaker under the ground. Good. Now you understand. Okay. Look for the Lord Jesus to appear. Now let's look at the verses 5 through 17. The believer's earthly walk in general. The believer's earthly walk.
Okay.
First, we're to mortify our members on earth. Verses 5 through 7. Please, let's read verses 5, 6, and 7 together. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye live in them. All right, verse 5, it says to mortify our members. In our country, we call a mortifier one, or I should say, we call an undertaker also a mortician.
All right.
A mortician is the one that deals with death. Mortify means put to death. When God says mortify our members, it means put them to death. That means act as if they have no influence on us. The word is nekrosate. This is an aorist tense.
Aorist.
Aorist.
Okay?
This is a point action. That's right.
Okay.
This is a determination once for all we're to make. It means to put to death. It means to deaden. It means to make them impotent without any power over us. And what are these members on what we're mortifying? What are these members? Does that mean all the pastors are to kill their church members? No. Our members are the things in our bodies, like a hand.
Okay.
Like our eyes and ears, and feet and mouth and heart. God says we've got to keep down sin in our bodies. Did they need this teaching in Paul's day? Did the Christians of Colossae need to hear about this? Do we still need to hear about these things? Has human nature changed? Has sin changed? Is it just not as practical today as it is any day? Another question. Is this limited, these sins, to only unsaved people? Or do Christians also have the flesh with them? Is there anything good in the unsaved person's flesh? Is there anything good in the saved person's flesh? Galatians says the flesh wars against the Spirit of God in us who are believers. There's a battle. And the one who wins is the stronger of these two nations. The illustration we use sometimes is of two dogs. Black dog, white dog. Somebody asks, when they fight together, who wins? The black dog or the white dog? And the answer? The one you feed the most. So spiritually, the spiritual nature, the fleshly carnal nature. If we feed the one more than the other, that one will be the strongest. And that's why Paul says, mortify these members. Put them to death. Put them to sleep. Tell me something. Do you feed a corpse? Do you feed a corpse, a dead body?
Okay. And now first follow.
Are you going to invite corpses over to eat lunch today? No, nobody feeds corpses. We should not feed these carnal members of our body either. We should feed the spiritual part of us with nourishment from the Word of God. Notice in verse 5, here are some of these members we're supposed to mortify, put to death. First, fornication. Sex relations before marriage.
Uh-huh.
This happens among Christians. It's a wicked practice. And yet Christians fall into it. God says, put that to death. Keep yourself for your future wife or future husband. Notice uncleanness is the second word here. That's impurity in a broad sense. Notice also in verse 5, inordinate affection. Inordinate affection. Bad affection, bad feeling.
Okay?
In Romans 1:16, these are called vile affections. It includes homosexuality and all the lesbianism and all these sorts of sins. Evil concupiscence or evil lust is the next one. These are strong passions that burn in our bodies. We're to put them to death. We're not to feed them. What feeds these terrible affections? Filthy things that we see on, if we have television, filthy things there. Filthy things we hear in our ears, on radio. Filthy things we may see in magazines and books. Pornography of all kinds. It feeds these evil things. We have it rampant in our country. And we have lots of things for evil people to see. And to hear. I think that you have fewer things to see and perhaps hear here. I don't know. If so, you should be thankful for that. Because evil is spread by TV and radio and movies and films. Notice this next sin in verse 5, we're to mortify. Covetousness, which is idolatry. This word, planexia, is the word covetousness. Planexia. Comes from two words. Pleon and echo.
Okay, echo.
Pleon means more. More things. Echo means to have or to hold. To have or to hold more things. That's covetousness. The desire for more things. Those things become our idols and we worship them. That's why covetousness is called idolatry here. We have many Christian idolaters in our country. And we're supposed to be civilized. But what we put first is our idol. That's what we worship. God says, mortify. Put to death. Covetousness. And then notice in verse 6, God says, because of all these things in verse 5, God's wrath comes upon the children of disobedience. God poured fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah for these sorts of sins. And he implies that Christians ought to have nothing to do with it. God's wrath is God's punishment. And then notice in verse 7, it says, they used to live in these sins. They used to walk in these sins. When they lived as unsaved people. Notice now in verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together, please. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. All right? Notice we're to put off some things. We've seen this word put off before in this book of Colossians. It comes from apo tithemi. Apo means off or away. Tithemi means to put or to place. It's to lay them aside like a garment that we take off. Take off your shirt and lay it aside. Take off your dress, lay it aside. That's put off. God wants us to put them off just like we take off our clothing at night. Notice the list of things he has in verse 8. Anger. Wrath. Now these are two words that are similar. The first is orgain.
Orgain.
This is a mental bent or impulse. This is anger. This is a mental set, anger. The second one is wrath, which is thumon, from theo. Theo means to rush or burn incense.
Okay? Theo.
It's a boiling agitation of our feelings. It's boiling up like water. And so wrath is stronger than anger. God says, take them off. Hang them up on the hanger in your closet. With your other old clothes that you never wear. Next, he says, malice should be put off. That sort of hatred to people. Blasphemy, speaking evil of God. That's irreverence of any kind. Blasphemy means to poke fun at holy things. Notice the next sin in verse 8. Filthy communication out of your mouth. This word is from Iskras. Filthy. It means indecent. Vile speech. Obscene talk. Dirty language. God wants us to put it off and hang it up somewhere we'll never use it. I told you how I tell our students in school. Who use filthy communication in my classroom. I tell them to watch their mouth. I say their filthy mouth. I may say, take your filthy mouth and get out of here. I may say, as I told you before, take that gutter language and move it. I say, take your sewer face and sewer mouth and get out. I say, take those toilet teeth and move out of here. And the 7th and 8th and 9th graders laugh when I say this, but they know what I mean. And sometimes when students use filthy language in my classes, other students themselves tell them to take their filthy mouth and move. That's progress. The next thing in verse 9. Let's read verses 9 and 10 together, please. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Notice he says, lie not one to another. Why would Paul have to tell Christians not to lie? Because Christians do lie. That's a terrible sin, isn't it, among us? We excuse lies too much. We separate them into white lies or little lies and big lies. And we do the little lies, but we don't do the big lies. We must be people of our word. In fact, that word there is in the present tense negative. It means to stop something you're already doing. Paul says, stop your lying, you Christians. He says, stop speaking falsehoods. The reason is given in verse 9. Seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. You've taken that old nature and just disrobed yourself and you've hanged him up in the closet. And all the old man, the old nature's deeds, you put away also. Then notice in verses 10 and 11, you put on the new man. Let's read verses 10 and 11 together, please. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. All right, you notice it says we put on the new man. The putting off is ek duo. That's ek is off. And duo is to put. So this is the verb put on. It's and duo.
Okay, number one.
his arm.
Et également mon.
And duo is put.
Duo également mon.
So, ek duo means to put off or to take off like the clothing. And now put on means to put it on, just like a dress or clothing. God wants us to take our new man out of the closet and put him on. And he wants us to wear him every day, day and night, that new man. If somebody sees us dressed in that new man and is mad at us, and tries to get us to go put that new man and hang him up in the closet and put the old man on again, don't listen to them. Keep that new man on like a dress, like a coat, like a shirt. And let them poke fun at you if they want to. Let other Christians or let other unbelievers put on the old man if that's what they want. Notice this new man is renewed in knowledge. In verse 10, it's renewed after the image of him who created him. We've been created by God our Father. And it says in this new man, there's no Greek or Jew. Or circumcision or uncircumcision. Or any of these different dialects. Barbarian or Scythian. Barbarian is somebody that couldn't speak Greek. In Paul's day, we all would be barbarians because we couldn't speak Greek. There's no bond or free in Christ. Bond, that means slaves. There were millions of slaves in Paul's day. But in verse 11 it says, Christ is all and in all. Notice the things we're to put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Let's read verse 12 and 13, please. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Notice what you're to put on. Our time is just about gone. Let's begin here tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Turn it back over to Pastor George.